Glad you're here this morning. We're so thankful for the Lord. We appreciate you for being in the house of the Lord with us. We've got one more section that we have. We've been working on this series for quite some time now. And that, like I said, it's going to go for a while. We'll be dealing with this particular subject. It's going to be the rest of this year, going into next year, probably throughout the year. We're studying all the words of Jesus, everything he's ever said. When you come to be a believer and you want to follow Christ, we want to be followers of Christ, we should listen to what he says. That should matter. What he says should trump what everybody else says. Actually, whatever we're saying should be just repeating what he said. And I know over the years, church could evolve to become its own thing. And maybe we got our own set of rules and regulations that we want to follow. And hence, it's the reason church has become or developed into what it is today. That's in general, all over the world. And then we have, the only reason we have a denomination is because somebody saw something different in the scripture that they believe to be this way or that way, and hence the division. And, you know, our church is a term that's used quite often. Right? Our church. What does that mean? That means you don't go to their church. Because you go to your church. And so it's been a devastating blow to the believer. But today, what I want to focus on is not about theirs or ours. I just want to talk to you about what he said. We'll just start there. What did he say to us, the believer? Well, where we've been in Matthew 5. What an incredible passage. Amen. I mean, it took us all through these Beatitudes, and we're trying to get through it. But Matthew 5 is full of some interesting things. And what we had the latter part, and the latter part, he simply says, think not. If somebody says to think not, that's an indication that the one who's the speaker knows that that's the area you're thinking in. If your disposition comes off where you're troubled, and I see that, I can make a reference to your trouble just by your disposition, by not even knowing what that trouble is. But I sense that there's trouble because of how you present yourself. Well, I'm sure in this setting, he's on the mount, and it's a mixed multitude. Mixed meaning there's some Jews, there's some Gentiles. There's religious leaders from different sects. Pharisees, Sadducees, they're all there. And then there's the followers of Christ that are there. So if you want to, you know, if you want to create a disaster, try bringing in different groups under one roof and start talking. Well, that's what Yeshua did. He starts saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And he goes on. He gives all this summation of what it really takes to follow him. Not our ideas. Now, why would he start a message like that? Because he knew that this setting that he was in, everybody had their ideas about what it takes to really be, quote, Jewish. An Israelite indeed, a Sadducee, a Pharisee, and Gentiles, they just didn't have any hope. None. But Yeshua comes along and he says, if you're going to follow me, I want you to consider what I tell you. Think about this. Poor in spirit, blessed are they that mourn. And he goes on and gives all of this. Then he talks about how important it is for us to remember the covenant. Covenants that are made. And he opens up and says, think not that I'm come to destroy the law or the prophets. Wow. Now, this is our third Sunday that I opened up with that statement. I thought, you know what? I told Pastor Josh, I said, you know, probably we'll finish that up because we'll move on to chapter 6. Because remember, chapter 6 don't change the day. Still the same day. So if you want to know how long he preached or where I get it from, I get it from him. He just kept going. So Matthew 6 continues. It don't stop. It just continues. It talks about every aspect of a person's life. Every part of your life matters to God. What you do, what you don't do, all matters. But the last part of this, last Sunday, really began to strike something in our lives that should matter. Because he says, think not that I'm come to destroy the law of the prophets. He didn't come to destroy, to do away with that. And that's where the church is kind of went in error. Because we're not under the Old Testament anymore. We're under grace. For by grace are you saved through faith. How many understand that? It's a very powerful passage, and it's something that is absolutely true. But once you're saved by grace, what is grace? Is grace anything you've done? You can't grace anything. Nobody in here has the power to grace anything other than for other people. You can't grace you because you and I need grace. Can you give grace to others? Only reciprocated grace. You can't give grace that you've not received because you don't know what it is. You have no idea what grace is. Grace is something that you've been given by God. For by grace are we saved. Because if it wouldn't be for grace, no man, woman, boy, or girl would be saved. No one. But by grace we are. Because God in his providential care, he saw fit to grace us what we deserve. We deserve the penalty of what we did. What did we do? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. How many? All. What's the penalty of sin? Death. That's what we deserved. But God graced us. I don't know about you, but just that part right there makes me want to shout hallelujah. Just that one part. So, for by grace are you saved through faith. Now, faith is a very important principle of serving God because it comes by hearing. Faith comes by hearing. Somebody had to tell something to you. It could have been a child. It could have been a pastor. It could have been a layperson. It could have been anybody. It could have been your neighbor, a friend. Anybody could have said something to you that released truth to you. How do we know it's truth? Because it's the only way you can be set free. Truth, it had to be truth. It was, what is truth? Contrary to what we believed. Truth is always contrary to what we believe. What did we believe? Whatever it was, whatever our dictate of life was, whatever we lived by, whatever it was, it wasn't good enough to keep us from sinning. Because we did it. And we did it willfully. Willfully we submitted to iniquity and sin. We did it on purpose. Many times we did it. We planned it. How many of you remember in your life when you planned to sin? I know we don't want to say it that way, but that's what we did. Couldn't wait. It was something, I know it was something in the sun or something. The S-U-N. The moment it started to set, we were getting ready. just the way it was. It was something in the atmosphere that come over us, and all we was thinking about, man, it's going to be fun tonight. Because, and we said, what is that? Because sin is pleasurable for a moment. It is. But what it brings is weights and surprises that you don't see at first. And they attach themselves to you. So in life, the moments that it feels good, that's all you're focused on. It's the after effect that gets you. So we were in the midst of all of that confusion. What did God do? By grace, he made a way for us to hear. Therefore, it became faith. Now, if I stop right there, that would not be preaching the word of God fully. For by grace are you saved through faith. Now, because I have to add this in. Faith without works is dead. Now, it didn't start out dead. What did it start out to be? Faith. Now, we're going to move on in faith. Without works is dead. What does it start out to be? Faith, enough to get you saved. And you got saved. You now got a brand new start. How do you keep it that way? You don't think Yeshua knew this when he got up and said, think not. Don't you think that I've come to destroy the law or the prophets? I didn't come to destroy the law or the prophets. He came to do what? Fulfill. Remember the Greek word? Pleroo. Very important. Because he's telling us, we're not abolishing, doing away with it. I'm going to bring it. I'm going to magnify it so you understand it differently. Isn't that amazing? So how's the church take that word? Well, the church takes it in the frame where we read fulfilled in the King James as understanding it in English. Fulfilled means bringing it to an end. Hence the term abolished comes to play. It's been abolished. That's very dangerous when you're abolishing the law of God. Very dangerous. So you have to ask yourself, what's the rules then? Because remember, faith without works is dead. What's the rules? Because I got to play a role here. What's your role to play once you've been graced? It's simple. It starts with an O. It's called obey. Just want to obey. Whatever it is, God, because I took my life first and I made a mess of it. But now you gave me a new life. We've got new rules, new regulations. Somebody else is in charge. And I'm now going to follow. I'm a follower of Christ, Christian. Follower of Christ. Now, he's the rabbi. I'm following him. When you follow Christ, your needs is his responsibility. Remember that. We'll get on that in Matthew 6. It really talks about don't be anxious for anything. Why would you be anxious unless you're running your life? If you're running your... How many remember when you were anxious because you was running that department? Uncertainty. I don't know. I don't know what to. I don't know nothing about nothing. Who knows? But when he's in charge, there's no anxiety of anything. He said, if I take care of the birds, and you're more prized to me than the lily of the field. He talks about this. He said, take no thought for what you're going to put on. None of that. You have no thought of that. I'm going to take care of that. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. Okay, when he says that in Matthew 6, 33, I believe it is, where did he bring us back to? Poor in spirit. Poor in spirit. It's a recognition that I'm now going to relax in the arms of the Savior, that he knows what's best for my life this time. Because the time before that, I needed a Savior. Now, I need to follow the Savior. How many want to follow him? That's what it's going to take. We got to follow him. So then he goes on. He says, think not that I'm come to destroy the law of the prophets. And he goes on. He's talking about all these things. And then he says a new commandment. A new commandment. One of those other words that get confused in the Bible. A new. New commandment. Two words in the Greek for new. One means brand new. Brand new. It didn't exist before, but now it's brand new. That's not the word he used. He could have used that. Remember, Yeshua says, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. And then he goes on another. He said, the words that I'm speaking are not my words. They're the words of the Father. He's trying to get us a message here. I'm the messenger relaying the message to you. If you want the best information, understand what I'm saying. The Father's telling you that, what I'm saying to you is correct. You gotta, because it had to be, it was witnessed by God that what Yeshua said was important to our life. Very important. And see, so he says a new commandment. The word new there, he said, this is something. Because now it's magnified, you're going to get a deeper understanding. If it's a different understanding than you had from before, it's what to you and I? It's new. Because it's different. And so he did that throughout the next mentionings. And he says, for you have heard of old times. That's his statement. What is he referring to? The Old Testament, the Torah. He's referring back to what you heard in the prophets, the writings in the Torah. So now we start here. This is where we left off. Somewhere around here. I'm going to back up just a little bit. John said that there was nothing new about loving your neighbor. Remember, we have John's encounter. John's encounter. I'm going to read the verses here in just a little bit. John's encounter was a person-to-person conversation with Yeshua, person to person. He's telling John something. Now, John wrote with their conversation to us. Then that becomes what? That becomes person to person to us. So he's trying to get us to understand. Nothing new about loving your neighbor. But he calls it a new commandment. You see how that can seem to be confusing. Now, nobody in here would think that Yeshua was confused. He's the Son of God. He has a direct link to the Father because of no sin. There was access into the very mind of God. He had a contact with God that no human being had ever had. The only one human being that experienced contact with God in the way that Yeshua was Adam and Eve. But that was only for a brief period of time, and they forfeited that because of what? Sin. How do we know it's sin? What is sin? What is sin? Because we need to know what it is so we not keep doing it. We don't want to keep doing it. Sin is transgression of the law. Now, how could they transgress the law when Moses' law wasn't even written yet? How could Adam and Eve transgress the law when it wasn't written yet? Because it wasn't written doesn't mean they weren't told. They were told a lot of things that we don't even have a record of. We can only read the scripture and find out. Like, for instance, Cain and Abel were commanded to come before God every year. They were told something. They had to be told some information. How would they know it? That information was not given to them directly from God. But they had a spokesman in their life. Who was that? It was their father. His name was Adam. Now, Adam had already done what? He'd already sinned. He'd already transgressed the law, so he was good at it. He was good at transgressing the law. Today we're going to have a resolution today. Some of our men are going to sign We're going to do one today, maybe one next week until we get it. Whoever wants to do it. It's up to you. But think about this. Whatever you do in your life as a father, whatever you have to understand that your children will respond to that. Abel brings his offering and God accepted it. Cain's, he rejected. Now they brought their offering based upon what they believed they were told. Or how should I say this? What they received by what they heard. You can sit in the same building, hear the same message. One can be blessed and the other cursed. Receiving is an act of your own will. That has nothing to do with the speaker. Receiving is an act of your own will. You got to receive it, and you got to reach out, grab hold to it, and pull it in. You got to apply what you hear to the area most needed. Who knows that better than you? No one in here knows that better than you. You know that better than anybody. Something said today will apply directly to you in your life and what's going on right now. And to someone else, something else I say applies to them. Not everything is going to apply to everybody. It's trying to preach a message with an audience that's diverse, different areas in your life, but you have to pull out of the message what you need. You know where it's at, and you make that adjustment. I got to pull out from this message what I need. I might be the speaker, but I'm definitely in need to hear this message. You understand? There's a free pass for the speaker. There's no free pass for anybody in here. We need to hear the word of God. It's the word of God that comes forth in our life that makes a difference in us. Remember how faith comes? Hearing. Hearing comes by what? The word of God. It comes by the word of God, and this is important. So now John is in this communication, and something happens. He talks about this love. He talks about this love is not the first time it was mentioned. And he wants us to understand that part about what he's saying. So think about Cain and Abel heard something different. Whatever they heard, sometimes you can hear something different because you're just not hearing. But to you, that's what you heard. It's, again, as you apply what you heard, you get a result. Whatever that result is, you apply it. Some offerings are accepted and some are not. Now, when the offering's not accepted, what does God do? He goes through great lengths to try to get you in the right state of mind. He says to Cain, listen, I don't accept this, but you can change it. You can go back and you can fix this. It's up to you. You decide that. But if not, sin lies at the door. It's like a lion crouched down. That's what David put it that way. So it's like a lion. It's ready. It's going to pounce on you the moment you step out. It's got you. And some of you here today, the lion's been on you, eat about half of you. But you're still alive or you wouldn't be here. Make a difference in your own life. How do you do that? Obey. Obey. Well, if I'm using the word obey, you can't obey where there's no rules. So what does Yeshua say? Think not that I'm come to destroy the law or the prophets. I didn't come to destroy, but to fulfill. I've come to magnify them so you can have more clarity on what they mean. Now, there's a lot of things in the law we don't have to do. One, we don't travel to Jerusalem once a year, right? Number two, we don't make a sacrifice anymore. Why? Because Yeshua became our sacrifice. How many thank God for that? Well, how many did he become? All of them. He's all of them. He's a supreme, final sacrifice. He becomes all of those sacrifices. His blood is the atoning blood. Right? So when we come to the proverbial altar in Egypt, that's where they were. He says, take the blood and put it on the doorpost and on the lintel. Why didn't he use the threshold? Because that's where the lamb was slain. The bowl was built in the threshold. There it is. Now make a covenant. I said, what? Make a covenant. If you're going to come in this house, you're going to follow my rules, my regulations. But don't be fretting about that, because when you're in my house, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to watch over you. I'm going to shield you from the enemy. I'm going to protect you because you're under my care. You're my responsibility. These are the words that God gives to us. When you're under my care, I'm going to attend to your every need. Don't be anxious about anything. I'm going to watch over you. I'm going to give you your daily bread. I'm going to do that. Quit worrying about a week from now's bread when I'm going to give you your daily bread. I'm going to take care of you. I'm watching over you. You're my responsibility. That's what happens. See, we want that benefit. But then he says, you can't do this. And that's where we get a little huffy right there, right? The blowback comes when he says you can't. Because we don't like rules. So it's better to say he destroyed them, and now we just got a couple of them. So you ask people, well, we're not under the law. When you got pastors preaching unhitched from the old covenant, we don't need that anymore. That's a dangerous spot. My question to them is, which ones we following? Well's not an answer. You got to give me more than that. What are we following if we have unhitched and we don't no longer do that? It's a good question. There got to be something we follow. So what does Yeshua say? He says, you have heard of old times, thou shalt not kill. But I say. All right, so are we saying we're going to take everything he says from here on out and dismiss the others? Or are we going to now fully understand as he commentaries the Torah? Is exactly what he did. So if you want to know what Matthew 5 and 6 is all about, that's the commentary of what was mistaken, hence divided the church, known church at that time, into two groups that hated each other. Not to mention why they were doing that, why they were petting their lambs. The Roman church was moving in, creeping in, and about to bring destruction like they have never seen. I'm talking about martyrdom at that time. It was absolutely out of control. The rulers of that day. That's why Jesus had to speak in terms where he says, you're going to need this. You have no idea what you're about to face. If you're going to love me, you're going to love me unto death. And many of them, as it says in Revelation, many people love not their life unto death. That's commitment. Now, I'm here just preaching to you. Let's just get a little commitment to church on Sunday. Bible study. Men's group. Ladies group. Well, I'm busy. Well, listen, you might be busy, but you got to be committed to something. Because never forget, there's a battle going on. And our leader, Yeshua, he went out and he took down the master of the battle single-handedly. Then he wants us to do something. Paul got it right. At the end of his day, he said, I fought the good fight of faith. I'm just wondering today who's got any fight in them. Because he said, I fought the good fight of faith. I finished the course. What is he talking about? He's finished the course. Because God laid a path out in front of him. And some days he didn't like the path. Some days he thought God was wrong about that path. I don't want to go that route. I don't want to be that person. But he stayed in the course. He kept doing what God... And listen, we think we owed an explanation about it. Can you explain to me why I'm going through what I'm going through? Well, I can't help you with that. I don't have no idea why you're going through what you're going through. But one thing I do know, if God laid a path out in front of you, you keep the faith. I fought the good fight of faith. He says, remember, when you sign up, Sign up? What does that mean, sign up? Well, yeah, you got to be committed to God. He said, when you sign up for the race, when you're going to join the race, run well. It don't mean you're the fastest. But you got to finish. You run well. You don't quit. And so all of these things are happening. We see as Paul unfolds his ideas throughout his ministry on how God showed him these things, how wonderful they were. Let's look at John's writing on what he says. John said that there was nothing new about loving your neighbor as yourself, and that this was a law from the beginning, and the last six commandments hang on this law. Leviticus 19, verse number 15. Ye shall do no unrighteousness in judgment. Can we judge and be unrighteous? He says, don't do no unrighteousness in judgment. Thou shalt not respect the person of the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty. But in righteousness shall thou judge thy neighbor. You don't judge them based on their status. Why? Because he says, see them as people, humanity. What did God come for? What did God come and make his connection with humanity? At Mount Sinai, we see for the first time after the fall, God came. And what did he deliver? He delivered his message, his word. Are you willing to do these things? Brother Scott mentioned this morning. Everything you say, we will do. Okay. Quit talking. Whatever you say, we're going to do. Well, we know that didn't happen. Does that change the fact that they made the statement? It don't change the fact. See, we have to do what we say. So he says, thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people. A good thing I ain't talking about talebearing today. That'd be a good place right there, wouldn't it? Neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. Why am I contexting this? Because we're dealing with what? Neighbor. Neighbor. Remember that. Why did he say this? Neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. I am Yahweh. Now, this is put in here as a signifier to let you know where the message is coming from. Who's he coming from? Yahweh, the Lord God. Verse 17, thou shalt not hate thy brother in thy heart. Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thy heart. Now, we know that it's what he said, but it's hard to judge that unless it manifests. Hatred in the heart manifests to what? Murder. You had to hate something in your heart before you done the act. They were only judged by the what? The act. But Yeshua comes along and says, I judge you by what's in your heart before the act. That's magnifying the law, not doing away with it. Telling you that because of the price paid, the sacrifice made, you're going to be judged even more so by these commandments. Wow. Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thy heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him. Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people. Wow. Now I'm in Leviticus, so just so you know. But thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Remember, that was the quote. Because he's quoting something. Well, he takes a quote to lead us somewhere. Where did he lead us? To Leviticus. How do we read Leviticus? In context. Now, if you went to Leviticus and just read that quote, what am I reading it for? Now you see, and why did he say, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. If it starts with but, go back up and find out what but's there for. I am Yahweh. Notice that. Now, 1 John chapter 2, verse 7. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you. Notice that term. I write no new commandment unto you. So First of all, he gives some clarification on the next statements that he's going to make. What's the clarification? No new commandment. Now, everybody remember that when I finish reading, because that's what you're going to need to know. What is he telling us? No new commandment, but an old commandment which ye have from the beginning. The old commandment. I write no new commandment, but an old commandment which ye have from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. The old commandment is the word you heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you. Okay, this sounded a bit confusing to me, right? That's where we get right there. What you got to remember when you go down, before you get to 8, what do you have to remember? No new commandment. Don't forget that. A new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you. Because the darkness is past, and the truth and the true light now shineth. Now understand that. They were given those commandments, and they were given those commandments, but they were in what? Darkness. They were in darkness. It was tough. They had to follow procedures and statutes to the T, or they were still in darkness. And because men couldn't follow it, because they were in darkness, once a year, God would ransom or redeem them. And in every 50th year, he would call it a jubilee. He would just clean it up for the earth, the people, and everybody else. And then it would go through the cycle again. Because we know there's going to be a final redemption, a jubilee, that's coming. It's going to be on the 50th day. Are y'all here following what I'm saying? So you leave from first fruit, and you're going to count the Omer 50 days. In Acts 2, it says when the day of Pentecost was fully come. That word Pentecost, again, that's the Greek word for 50. In the Hebrew, we would call it what? Shavuot. Which takes me back where? Mount Sinai. Where he delivered what? The Ten Commandments. Now somebody here is going to have to do a whole lot better than the nonsense you get on YouTube to try to convince me that God has done away with his commandments. Because you can't understand scripture or read them correctly. No new commandment. Is that clear? Seems clear to me. No new commandment. But a new commandment I write unto you. What in the world? Listen, I'm trying to explain it to you last week the same way. He's going to magnify, and if he magnifies the command, it's new to you. But it's still from where? The old commandment never changed. Very important. You have heard it said, but now I tell you. Remember, don't kill your brother. Well, the act was only punishable by punishable if you committed the act and was caught by two or three witnesses. Then you were stoned. You kill, we kill you. A simple thing. I mean, you did that today, you clean up the street, everything would clear up. You know, I mean, it would clear right up. You'd fix all the problems we have in the you know, reform in the prisons and all that. We got to have prison reform. And these clowns get out there and say this on the news, in the public. Yes. We ought to put clown faces on all of them. Because you've been hearing this thing all your life. I've been hearing it all my life. What has changed? Nothing. Man cannot fix man. God needs to come, and his plan, if we follow it, it changes our life. It changes everything about us. And so here Yeshua comes and says what he's saying. And when we say, I don't understand. Listen, if you kill your brother, the old covenant says you're going to be killed. But I say to you, if you hate him in your heart, you've killed him already. The judgment starts where, whether two or three witnesses caught you or not. whether you actually committed murdering, but if you did it in your heart, he said, you're guilty of it. You see what he's trying to say? Listen, that sacrifice that was paid for us, it wasn't a lamb that was an animal that you raised. This was the Son of God. And his sacrifice got to mean something to us. And he's saying it needs to matter to you that his life was laid down. You can't hate your brother. Period. I tell you, you've heard it said that y'all should not commit adultery. So it's the act. Remember, it's always the act that you got penalty for. So that you get caught in the act, they take y'all back, stone you. Why would they be trying to do this? They say, we can't live like that. That's crazy living. We don't want to live like that, so we're going to get rid of that. Well, you think twice about it, right? So you should, but this is what he says. But I tell you, if you look upon a woman in lust, you've done it already. You see? What is that? Is that destroying? It's magnifying what was already written, so you and I get a better understanding that we still have to follow the rules. What do? To please, we obey. Faith without works is dead. You can't disobey and expect grace and faith to kick in and you just could do anything you want. Shall we continue to sin that grace may abound? Ready for the anchor? God forbid. God forbid. We don't continue to sin that grace can blossom in our life. We got to appreciate grace. Well, thank God that listen, second chance, you got to appreciate that. You appreciate second chance. If you're on your third or fourth, you appreciate it even more. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which things is true in him and in you, because darkness is past and true light is now shining. This sounds like a contradiction to the previous verse, but John is pointing out that Yeshua taught in that loving your neighbor as yourself is now magnified to the degree that we should love one another to the point of being prepared to lay down our lives for each other as Messiah did for us. 2 John, chapter number 1, verse number 1. The elder, the elect lady and her children. That's the start of that verse, that chapter. I don't know if you've read that before, but it's a pretty, you start reading this, you go, okay, what is this? Because it says, the elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I loved in truth. Now I'm reading this, 1 John, this is 2 John chapter 1, 2 John chapter 1, and the same thing, this is what happens when it's been a while that you read 2 John. Because you're showing me. What is that talking about? You got to watch how you tell on yourself. Listen, I've been doing this for a long time. And I'm going, I know when I was going to read this last week. And I'm glad a time run out. Because I needed to have a little time on this one. Let me read it again. The elder, 2 John, chapter 1, verse 1. Unto the elect lady and her children, whom I loved in the truth. And not I only, but also all they that have known the truth. For the truth's sake. What are we doing something for? Truth's sake, which dwelleth in us. And shall be with us forever. Grace be with you, mercy and peace from Yahweh the Father and from the Master Yeshua Messiah, who is the Son of the Father. Now, listen, I'm not making this up. Listen, if you're wondering, this is just the King James Version, 1611, authorized, but we left the words like they were originally. What words? Like the names, how they were. For from Yahweh the Father, he's going to tell us this where this is coming from, is a greeting. And from the Master, Yeshua Messiah, who is that? The Son of the Father, in truth and love. What a greeting. Then he says in verse 4, I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth. Now, this is an address to the elect lady. I found of your children, what is the children? It's the product of the woman. It's the product. It's her children. Comes from her. The lady would be the original. The product would be the extension of the original. They're doing what? Walking in truth. That'll get you happy and excited. As we have received a commandment from the Father. Now this is John one-on-one. Remember that. One-on-one with Yeshua. And he's talking about this, having this conversation, and we're getting an idea of what went on. I received a commandment from the Father. Now he's telling us about it. And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee. Okay, lady. Now, if you go to regular commentary, I'm convinced that some of the writers are squirrels. Because they're all over the place. But if you look at folks that have spent some time investigating this, you get a whole different take on this. But let's look at it, because we're going to, listen, let's just let the scripture tell us. Now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. We love one another. Notice that. And this is love. This is love. That we walk after his commandments. He's telling us what it is. He's telling us what it is. This is love. That we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment. That as ye have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. That as ye have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. Notice that. There's no abolishing by far. There's no abolishing. We got to have something to guide our lives. Some people say, well, he's just living in my heart. He's in my heart. I don't need nothing. He's right here. It's a personal relationship. Nobody can tell me anything's in my heart. Then you're in the club one night. I wonder where he's at then. Because he don't like the club. Or maybe you've hurt somebody or cheated somebody or cheated on your wife or cheated on your husband. You telling me he does all those things too. It ain't in your heart that you got it written in front of you. Do you do it? Is that what challenges you every day when you read it and says, I shouldn't do that? And you say, God, in your prayer time, what is prayer time? Talking to God. Father, I thank you. And I'm susceptible to all of these things today. I know that. I'm asking you to keep me from doing those things. Help me love you more than sinning. I want to love you more than I love sin. That's what I want to do. I want to exchange my passion for sin for passion for you. That's what I want to do today. And I'm asking you to do this in the name of Jesus. Amen. You think your day might go a little different? I tell you it will. Because he said, ask everything in the name of Jesus. And you'll see some results. Because remember, that name, that most powerful name, is the one that laid his life down for his friend. That's the one that paid for it all. For you and I. There's power in that name. Power released in that name for you and I. That as ye have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. You walk in it. So think not. Think not that I'm come to destroy the law or the prophets. I'm not come to destroy, but to fulfill, to magnify. I'm giving you a clear understanding, that way nobody can mistake it. This is not the Sadducees giving you definition. This is not the Pharisee giving you definition. This is not your pastor giving you definition. I'm giving you the definition. I'm magnifying it for you. Simple, simple terms. He laid it out. We have to do these things. Very, very important. And if you love the Lord, you're going to want to obey him. Simple. He said, this is how people know that you love God. How many want, you want to share your what you're doing with other people? They'll know that you love me because you do what I say. Simple. He said, you're just going to do what I say. You can't go around talking to people and say, man, you ought to come to church with me if you're not doing what he says. Mm-hmm. You got to do what he says. Then how do you know that you're disciples of the Lord? All of us. How do we know? Because the love we have for one another. He said, this they'll know that you're my disciples because the love you have for each other. If we can't get love right, first of all, we got to recognize that. I don't care. Listen, let me just clear this up for you so you understand it. We come from sin. Let's not forget that. We come from brokenness. We've sinned. We all did that. And the moment you sin, you don't. There's something happens to you. You now know the truth, and now you're looking at your life. This is just you looking at you. You go, man, that's messed up. That's terrible. I can't believe I've done that. You're going to have this guilt. This guilt comes over you. And what does guilt lead you to? Repentance. So you repent. Once you repent, your guilt can't be there. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Why? Because we're not doing that anymore. No condemnation. What does that mean? You first have to love yourself. No matter how many mistakes you made, no matter how many difficult times, you first love you. You love you. If you don't love you, you can't experience the love of God. The love of God comes and shows you how he loved you. You love yourself. When you love yourself, you'll love your husband or your wife. Just the way it is. You don't know what I'm going through in my home. It doesn't matter what you're going through. We can sit here and pick on details. What does that matter? Listen, if you love you and you recognize what God did for you, you're going to love your spouse, period. And then what's going to happen? You're going to love your children. You're going to love your children. You're going to want the best for their life. What's the best for their life? Training them up in the way they should go, that when they're older, they won't depart from the faith. You can't train somebody if you don't take them there. And so let's now talk about the church. We get those three things operating, the church is going to be fine because you make up the church. Dysfunction in the church didn't start there. Dysfunction starts in us individually. And it's a residual effects down to the church. That's what happens to it. So we don't want that. How many want to serve the Lord with gladness and come before his presence with singing and know that the Lord is God? Those things can happen when we set. We just got to do a little house cleaning. Yeshua is the perfect model of the love of Yahweh in his perfect example of love and obedience. Messiah loved us so much that he sacrificed his own life for us. He himself explained in John 15:13, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friend. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Think about that. First he says, you know, he's asked this question. Remember who came and asked the question? A lawyer. Don't think lawyer like we think lawyer now. A lawyer is the one who dictates the law of God. It's the Torah writer, it's the scribe. He's somebody who's well-versed in the scripture. Comes to Yeshua and says, what's the greatest commandment? He says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your mind. You know, he explains this to him. He said, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So we have this explanation from Yeshua. He's explaining it. And the lawyer says, you said well. He had nothing to say. What is he going to say? Because he knew what he was saying was right. But then he goes on to explain. Let me take it to another level for you. See, we want to take it to a different level, because blood of bulls and goats can only be temporary. But now we have the blood of his own son. So it's got to go to a different level. So we don't treat the blood of Christ where we tread it over and over again. We don't want to make the cross of Christ of none effect. And the effect is not the effect of the world first. It's in our life first. Because you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. So if we take it where it don't affect us, then you think evangelism is going to be on our side? We're not going to have evangelism. There's nobody going to get saved and nobody going to be added to the church. When you got the church so messed up, we can't figure our right hand from our left. We can't figure out what to do. We want God to move. He's going to move in that way. So we'll stop right there. That'll be a good spot to stop. I'm still go on. But we got stuff to do. And what we're going to do is going to just tail off on what we've been saying. So what we're doing...